Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Light the fuse and run now, brother, cause you ain't got a lot of time. Don't you act surprised when it all goes to hell on your dime.
All right, 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. I am Leland Conway. Dick Morris is going to join us in just a couple minutes, the author of The Return. We're going to talk about the fallout from AT&T and DirecTV dropping Newsmax from its channel lineup offerings. Now, it's a free market, and companies can do whatever the hell they want. I get it. But there's no question in my mind that there is an effort by certain large companies in America to somehow shade out any conservative points of view. And you may or may not like Newsmax. I don't know. It's I don't see it as like the bastion of journalism. I just see it as a conservative viewpoint on journalism, same as I see Fox News. You should be able to have those choices. You should be able to have those choices. And I don't understand, like, why would you not want people to see those things? I mean, clearly Newsmax is popular. So anyway, we'll talk to Dick Morris about that. I've got some texts coming in. I love this because Jay from Fort Collins wanted us to shut up about the plastic bag fee, and you guys have basically done the opposite in the text box, because clearly we're on the same page here. You guys understand, like I do, that 10-cent tyranny is still tyranny. So anyway, you can text me 57739, text Leland 57739. Also, a lot of you are pretty riled up about what to avoid eating on airplanes. In fact, 7703 said, Leland, since my wife had COVID, she lost her sense of smell. I enjoy farting on airplanes because nobody can tell it came from my roll. My wife can't smell it. I ain't gonna lie. So when my wife and I had COVID, it was about a year and a half ago, it was September, year before last. We had COVID. I had it first and she had it. I lost my sense of smell. I never lost my sense of taste. I lost my sense of smell. And my smell is still not 100% back to normal, I'll be honest with you. But it's mostly normal. It's probably about 95%. But for about 4 weeks, I couldn't smell anything. Nothing. Nothing. But as soon as I found out my wife also couldn't smell anything for about 4 weeks, I ain't gonna lie. I did a couple Dutch ovens. I did. I'm not gonna lie. I wouldn't do it on a plane, though. You know what they know about it? It's like the thing about an elevator is the only time you ever want to fart on an elevator is if there's more than three people. If there's two people, everybody knows who did it. If there's three people, only the person who did it knows who did it. Because the other ones are like, did he do that? Did she do that? I don't know who did that. Cappy says to avoid the doughy pretzels on airplanes. They're great. When offered me and my buddies extras, we jumped on it. Major gas issues on the flight. Whoa. All right. 3274 says, I have decided as a small business owner, I will not be charging 10 cents for bags. They can come get me. Hey, I'm not telling you guys to do it. I'm just saying, I don't know how else, like, I don't know. I'm not telling you to do it, but it sure will be interesting. Will be interesting. All right. Where was I? Oh, so, Wade did the math on this, and he did the math wrong, but he admitted he did the math wrong. Well, I'll get to this, because this is how much tax revenue may be coming in because of the 10-cent bag fee. Anyway, we'll get to that a little bit later. Right now, though, I'm excited to have my friend Dick Morris back on the program, author of The Return. Very interesting fellow, and I always enjoy talking to him. He's very engaging. Hey, Dick, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine personally, but I'm upset that Newsmax has been cut off by DirecTV and by AT&T.
Yeah.
Because this is a form of censorship that just absolutely is aimed right at the heart of the Donald Trump campaign and is trying to destroy him.
It's pretty clear that there's an effort afoot. But let's clear this part of the air first, okay? as a libertarian, my first thought is, hey, free market, free company, companies can do what they want. What makes this any different than that, in your opinion?
Well, they can do what they want, but we can do what we want. And conservative viewers and Republican viewers en masse should boycott AT&T and DirecTV and insist that they cover Newsmax. Otherwise, they won't give them their dollars and won't subscribe. Mm-hmm. This is entirely something that is a war that's conducted outside of government because it is the private sector. But we have massive buying power, and over 100,000 people have just left the DirecTV and AT&T since this controversy started. And that is hitting them in the pocketbook, and that should cause them to reconsider. And I hope that those of you listeners that get DirecTV or use AT&T call 1-877-NEWSMAX. It's 1-877-NEWSMAX. And they'll help you figure out how to boycott them, how to turn off the system.
How do we know that it's not, and understand I'm playing devil's advocate here, okay? How do we know it's not just because there just isn't enough viewership for carrying Newsmax?
Hold on 1 minute, please.
Yeah, okay. I guess Dick's getting a call. Let's see if he's getting a call there. See, I actually like this because it's kind of real, right? You're having a conversation, and I mean, how many times have you done that? You're having a conversation and be like, I'm getting a call on another line. So
many conversations about Newsmax. That's what he had said. And I had just, like, when I called him, that's what he told me. He's like, hey, I'm coming on with you guys. Yeah, but somebody might be calling me. So
that's okay. It's all good. It's hilarious. All right. Well, how do we figure out if he's done with whatever it is that he's called? Who's calling him? It's more important than a live radio.
No, he's going.
That's awesome. It better have been Trump himself.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's awesome.
I can call him back.
That is awesome. A live radio interview. I might be interrupted. Somebody might. Is he calling back?
I think he's calling back, yeah.
All right, because I want him back on because I want to find out who called him. That's hilarious. I love it. Well, I don't have Newsmax because I don't have DirecTV. I don't have I have AT&T. Well, it might be my phone service, but I don't have DirecTV because I unplugged because I don't like paying all that money for it. All right, Dick, I got to know who called you.
Radio show.
Okay. Yeah. So wait, they're more important than we are, Dick?
No, I told them I'd call them back.
Okay. No worries. So get back into it. Here was my question. And again, I'm playing devil's advocate, but how do we know it's not just because AT&T decided or DirecTV decided, well, there's just not enough viewers for Newsmax. We don't want to carry it.
Well, Newsmax is the fourth highest rated cable news network in the country.
Right.
There are 22 other cable news networks that are left wing or liberal, mm-hmm. and those are continuing to be platformed without a problem.
Right.
And this is the only network, the only news network that covers President Trump's rallies. And the rallies are a key element of his campaign. Mm-hmm. Silence them and you silence Donald Trump and you can beat him.
Yeah.
And that is what they're trying to do. It's why they deplatform Newsmax 1 week before Trump launched his formal campaign with two rallies in New Hampshire and South Carolina. And it's obvious what they're doing.
Don't you think it's, even on a macro level, too, and it's not just with regards to Newsmax and their connection to Trump, but I think in an even bigger way, one of the ironic biggest dangers to a free and open democracy right now is the weird relationship that seems to have developed between big business and leftist politics in America. And so we have this sort of ESG, you know, environmental social governance, social credit score, this kind of thing emerging where the big companies get to decide what is acceptable in society and what is not. My wife bought me an Xbox for Christmas, Dick, and they just told me that they just uploaded an update to it where it's going to determine when I have used it too much and then lower the power on it because they don't know what my carbon footprint is, but they're deciding for me. That to me is very concerning.
Yeah, well, the important point here is that they are replacing government action with private action.
Yes.
Where we have no no constitutional protection and no restraints on what they're doing.
Right.
And you see that in this instance with Newsmax and DirecTV. You also see it with their attempt to require to allow 401ks to be invested in subpar returns.
Yes.
That earn less money because you want to accomplish the social good. And you know that that's just a short leap from incentivizing and then requiring that.
Right. It's interesting you bring that up. I read an article yesterday that in Colorado they're trying to move pensions towards, like, it's got to be green stuff. And I'm like, that under financial management, that's a breach of fiduciary duty to use politics instead of return as your way of making choices about investments.
It is, but it's been sanitized by the Department of Labor under Biden, which has issued a regulation saying that it does not violate fiduciary duty to sacrifice your term.
Yeah, they actually carved that out because they knew that that would be a question.
And now there's a move in Congress led by Mike Braun, Republican of Indiana, Senator, to overturn that regulation. And the regulation is scheduled to take effect today. Mm. And it will mean that you, starting right now, if you are not willing to accept subpar returns on your 401k, you need to be in touch with BlackRock or Vanguard, whatever the company is that is managing your 401k, and tell them you do not want and will not allow your funds to be invested in ESG groups.
Yeah.
And unless you do that, they can make a default decision in the absence of your input. Take your money and invest it in climate change and racial equity and all of this stuff, as opposed to something that makes you the most money.
The reason I wanted to talk about this is because I know there's definitely going to be some people listening. They may not be fans of Trump, so they don't care if Newsmax goes away. And the libertarian in me says you have to care. You have to care. It's like the 10-cent plastic bag fee I've been talking about. Yeah. We have to care when freedom is taken away, whether it's taken away from us or people that we might disagree with. All of this matters in the grand scheme of things in order to have a healthy and open debate about who should be our next president.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And to cut off the most likely Republican candidate for president and not permit him to use DirecTV to speak to his supporters or other people is more serious even than banning him on Facebook and Twitter, which they tried last year.
From your perspective, we're talking with Dick Morris, author of The Return. From your perspective, what is it that causes such visceral reaction? I mean, as long as I've been around, the media has been leftist. I mean, to be honest, you know, the media has been to the left since you were working with the Clinton campaign, right? I mean, so
well, let me give you an answer to that.
Yeah.
Little details. I just wrote a paper on this, and it's on my website. The left decided in the 1950s, to switch from economic to cultural Marxism. And they decided that you wouldn't rally the working class to a revolution. But what you could do is control the means of production, which is not economic, but the information society. The information outlets, TV stations, radio, newspaper, books, and all of that. And what they did was infiltrate elementary and secondary education to inculcate young children with this ideology, the woke ideology. And when they graduated and went to college, they reinforced it. And then they went out into the bloodstream of our society. And because they were well-educated, rose to dominant positions in corporations, on networks, on editorial boards and boards of directors and all of that. And they're using their positions in a coordinated way to advance a woke agenda. And Herbert Marcuse, who is really the seminal left-wing philosopher, spoke of Mao's long march where his army retreated and repositioned over 1,000 miles and said, we need to conduct our own long march to the cultural institutions of our country and the gatekeepers and spread this dogma. And they have. And the answer to it, by the way, is a series of steps that Trump has proposed, which include cutting off federal aid to any university or college that inhibits free speech, to require that any recipient of federal aid has to be ideologically blind in how in professors they hire, and deliberately have both sides represented, just as all races are represented, and a whole series of things. If you look at Trump's speech of December 15th, I think it was, just right. Google Trump free speech, and you'll get a very detailed program that will address this.
Fascinating stuff, and I couldn't agree with you more on how they made that shift, and it's pretty. I made a mistake early on in this whole thing with woke on campus of thinking, well, these kids will get out in the real world and get slapped in the face, and in fact, they actually just changed the real world, and that's what we're dealing with.
Exactly, yeah. They control the real world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Slapped in the face.
Dick, it's always good having you on. How can folks get your book? Go ahead. Yeah, did you?
Well, I will, but the more important thing right now is to call 877-NEWSMAX, N-E-W-S-M-A-X, 877-NEWSMAX, and you'll be patched through to DirecTV and to AT&T. And
awesome.
So when you will not use their services, you will disconnect and pull the plug if they continue their policy of censoring out NEWSMAX.
Awesome.
That's vital right now. It's not as citizens or voters that want to address you. It's as consumers.
Right. Yeah. No, agree with you. And then how do folks get a hold of your book, The Return?
DickMorris.com or Amazon.com or any place books are sold. It maps out how Trump is going to come back and be the next president.
All right, my friend. It's good to talk to you again. We'll chat again in the future. Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
All right. So Dick Morris, I got to be honest with you, B-Large, that's the first time in the middle of an interview I've ever had somebody just straight up take a call from someone else and come back. But I mean, didn't bother me. I mean, I do it all the time to my friends. So it just means we're friends, right?
Yeah. I had no idea if he was going to call back or not. And then the phone started ringing when you and I were talking. So I was like,
awesome.
Well, that's awesome. Actually, at least he called back, you know, that was
awesome. The dude's unflappable. I think that's what I love about talking to him is I don't always agree with him, but I like talking to interesting people like that. And he's a very interesting person. Did you remember the very first interview that I did with him? My first question was, I had to understand how he went from being a dyed-in-the-wool Clinton supporter to a dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter. And he had a really good answer for it. I don't remember exactly all of it, but he had a really good answer for it. It didn't flap him. It didn't bother him. He didn't get upset. He didn't get angry. That's what I think that's what I like about talking to him, is that you can kind of push back a little bit. You can play a little devil's advocate. You can do a couple different things. And he doesn't, it's fine, which is why I'm willing to forgive somebody who takes another call in the middle of an interview. It's just, it's funny. It's real life. But on the Newsmax thing, here's the thing. Newsmax is definitely, it's definitely Trump-centric, for real. But, I've been honest with you guys. I told you, I promise you I'd be honest with you. I'll criticize Trump when he deserves it. I'll praise him when he deserves it. He's not my pick for the next president of the United States. But what I want is free speech. What I want is a free and open democracy. And I think one of the worst things that ever happened to our system of government was not January 6th, but rather the mainstream media's collective reaction to the Trump presidency did more to damage democracy. It did more to damage the concept of truth. It did more. The whole Russia hoax thing, the fact that we had the deep state working against the sitting president, the fact that we had an enormous effort to shut down the economy unnecessarily for the first time ever in a pandemic in order to take out a president who had presided over a terrific economy because they just couldn't stomach four more years. And the entire irony behind the fact that the reason we got Trump in the first place was the media. They thought he would be the easiest one for Hillary Clinton to defeat. And they promoted him incessantly and under-promoted all of the other Republicans. They got him. Then he surprisingly won the election. And they went, oh, my God, what have we done? And then they just basically set out to take a sitting president out. And again, that's coming from somebody myself who doesn't really like the guy. But I'm just telling you what happened and how it went down. And now we have them basically saying, hey, we're going to cut off an entire news outlet just because they tend to cover Trump in a positive light. They can't get away with that with Fox, but they can get away with it with Newsmax. So, interesting stuff. All right, when we continue, Mandy Connell is going to join us. We're going to talk about this puke thing, the PUC, raising your energy rates. What's behind it? how it'll affect you, all that good stuff. Coming up next, I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And now, back to more Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
All right, 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. I am Leland Conway. You can text the show directly, 577-39, 577-39. My good friend from the mansion across the hall, the great Mandy Connell, in studio with us. How are you, Mandy?
Oh, slumming. off across the hall from the mansion. I like that.
Right there. Right in the gut. Yep. By the way, I just had a first in talk radio happen with our last guests.
Do tell.
I
want
to know if this has ever happened to you. We had Dick Morris on, and in the middle of the interview, he straight up took a call from someone else.
The funny part is yes, that has happened to me before.
Oh, it was awesome. We stayed with it because we were like, hey, that's awesome. It's real life.
But did he not know? Because the guy that took a call for me knew he was taking a call.
And no, he knew.
Yeah, hang on. And this guy was like, no, I want lettuce on the side. So basically he was just confirming his lunch order. Yes. So who was Dick Morris talking to?
I was going
to
say, he told me that he had somebody. He's like, I've got you guys and I got another radio show. He's
shut
like,
the
but
front
I'll go
door.
With you guys first.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of that, they called him at the same time.
They called him, and he's like, hold on, I'll be right back. And then it's like, goes away. It's over. The phone call's done. So then we're like, well, we're just kind of like, well, if he calls back, let's put him on, because I got to know who the heck called him. And so then like 2 minutes later, he calls back, and he's like, and I was like, so what you're telling me is this other radio show was better or more important than us? And he's like, oh, no, I told him I'd call him back.
What, first of all, fire your scheduler, dude. You know, I mean, fire the scheduler on that one.
100%.
I've had people on the phone with me be like, hang on. They're like, I need a number one with cheese,
yes.
No tomato. And you're like, but
only
they're in the drive-thru.
That's okay is if you bring us whatever
exactly.
It is you're ordering.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the reason I had you on, wanted to have you on is we had a lot of people were talking, because I know you have a big take on this as well. And you know, there was an article in the Gazette about irate customers taking the puke to the woodshed. The puke is trying to raise people's rates. They're probably going to rubber stamp XL Energy's request. And let me just kind of lay out kind of where I'm at. And I want to hear your take, because I know you're going to have an awesome one. But one of the things I hate about the Colorado legislature and the bureaucrats that run our state is how everything is duplicitous. Nothing is above board. And there's all kinds of scapegoating here. And so while XL, I think, deserves a lot of blame, a lot of the reason why it's getting more expensive to provide this energy is because of bureaucrats and politicians who have set up regulations that make it damn near impossible to get affordable energy into the state of Colorado. And then they don't actually get the blame when XL comes along and says, we got to raise rates. Now, I'm not saying XL is blameless. I'm saying that we need to understand as freedom lovers that there are a lot of other levels to this problem that make it so sinister, kind of like the plastic bag fee, right? It's not just the 10-cent tyranny. It's something below that that's happening. But what's your take on all of this? Because I'm glad people are finally pissed off enough to say something. But as you pointed out on your awesome blog at KOA.com, check out Mandy's blog, there's a lot of people that are mad now that weren't mad during the ratchet up, the top of the heat, so to speak.
Well, and the thing that drives me crazy is that I just think that there is such a fundamental conflict between having a publicly traded company that has a responsibility to shareholders, also having a monopoly in Colorado when it comes to providing power. Because in my mind, and I talked about being part of a co-op in Florida called Clay Electric, and at the end of the year, if they took in too much money, they sent us a refund check, right? And sometimes it was $17 or whatever, but it was always with a letter saying, look, we estimated that we were going to spend this much money. We didn't spend this much money. Here's your money back.
Right.
And now we have XL, who, as a publicly traded company, their primary responsibility is to return value to their shareholders. Mm-hmm. That is their role. That is in direct conflict with providing the lowest power energy for the people of Colorado.
That's a great point.
It is a conflict that I don't think you can resolve. And I'm not in favor of municipal electric. It's always more expensive. I had that in Louisville with Louisville Water. I don't know if you ever talked about the Louisville Water stories where they, God, it was run so poorly. It was mind blowing. And no one ever was held accountable. No one ever changed anything. But this is a publicly traded company, so where is their allegiance?
So you make a really good point here, because if you're going to do the free market thing and say publicly traded free market companies can do this, but they have to compete against each other to provide service so that there's a fiduciary duty to the customers themselves.
Right.
And what you're saying is that when they are allowed to be the private company and hide behind that shield, while at the same time being a monopoly that doesn't have any competition, because I'll be honest with you, I'm in Colorado Springs, and I'm actually with a co-op. We got the check you just described last year. I think it was like $7. It was $7, but it was money that came back to us because they didn't need it. And you make a really good point.
That money, otherwise, when XL has it, is given out to the shareholders in the form of dividends. And, you know, and I'm not knocking the public company model. I own stock, you know, probably everybody in this listening audience owns some kind of stock in their 401k or their IRA or whatever. That model is great, but because we are held captive as ratepayers, I can't shop the market and say, hey, is there a co-op down the street that I can get my electric power from? So because we are trapped in this system, I think there's a different set of responsibilities that have to be put forward, and I'm not sure how to fix this. Like, I really don't know how to go and say, look, how do we can't take XL private. They're well beyond Colorado, right? I mean, they're in Minnesota, they're in other places, but I just see too much conflict here until or unless the Public Utilities Commission says, we are going to make you work so hard for every single rate increase. I don't know how your dad was growing up, Leland, but if I had to go ask my dad for $10, I better come in with a fully developed, compelling speech that included bullet-pointed reasons that I needed that $10 and why I was not able to provide those $10 for myself. They need to be jumped through way too many hoops, in my view. And I heard from someone that actually goes to the PUC meetings that XL will come in and they'll do an hour and a half presentation, and then people who do want to make a public comment get 3 minutes.
Right.
You know, it's like, what are we doing here?
And by the way, I never even got to the speech. It was you're going to have to find a way to find that money yourself, you dumb kid. So, but you know what kind of goes along with that is there was an article on Complete Colorado about the accusation that XL was actually slow walking solar hookups, which ties into this conversation where when people say, I'm going to choose solar panels, and we can argue over that being a good choice or not, but whatever, people say, I'm going to choose solar panels. Generally, they choose that because in their minds, they're thinking, I'm going to save some money down the road somewhere by providing some of my own energy. And if you're slow walking, even getting that set up, it's like you're not even allowed to compete against the energy company
situation. I mean, we the dirty little secret about increasing homeowner solar usage is that whoever is the power company, they still have to pay for the infrastructure, right? So the more people that come off the billing side and actually get solar panels that could actually sell energy back to the grid, XL's business model is screwed. Like, if every single house in Colorado puts some solar panels on the roof, their entire company collapses because of that. So, they're slow walking.
That kind of comes back, though, to what I was saying, where do you agree that there's like three or four stories wrapped up in one here. There's everything you said about XL, and I fully agree. I mean, you have a private, or not private, it is a private company, but it's publicly held company, but it's in the private sector providing something with no competition, therefore no fiduciary duty to the customers. In addition to that, you have the legislature that is making it more and more expensive for them to even generate the energy in the first place, and then they don't get any, they don't get their comeuppance, right? Because all the blame then goes in this one direction. So to me, you have like multiple stories wrapped up into one here, and the people that get screwed are the voters and the workers of Colorado in the whole process.
Let me throw one more layer into that story, and that is the current head of the Public Utilities Commission is a guy who has made his fortune in renewable energy. And the other two commissioners have been appointed to the board, one by John Hickenlooper, another one by Polis. So we've got two Polis appointees, one Hickenlooper appointee. John Hickenlooper was the governor who signed over our energy policy to the California standards before he left office. That was like his parting shot. And we all know how Jared Polis feels. I mean, if he could run the state on unicorn farts and rainbows, he would, right? So you have to look at the people that are in charge of this. And every time XL comes, and I don't know if you saw the story, I think it was this week, earlier or last week, XL is just investing in this huge battery array using rusting iron that has not been proven at this at scale, right? So it may have been proven in a lab, but it's not been proven at scale. They're going to invest in that unproven technology because it's green.
Right.
And so as long as we have green people running the PUC and XL looking for every way to spend more money on infrastructure for green energy, we have this like match made in hell for the ratepayer.
One has to wonder if you track all this back, as we always talk about following the money too. It's like, who benefits from this quagmire that the ratepayers find themselves in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, on one end, you have a public utility company that can literally do whatever the hell it wants when it comes to rates and all of that. On the other end, you have lifelong people who made fortunes in the green energy business doing things, creating regulations that tie back directly to the profitability of green energy companies. You know, all of this leaves and cuts out ultimately the ratepayer at the end of the day.
And I think it's not even so much, it may be about the money, but I really believe that we're talking about true believers here, right? So this is almost evangelical at a point where green energy is evangelical, even though it's not at a point where we could turn our energy needs over to it. So it's just this whole, they believe they're saving the world.
Yeah.
And so ratepayers that are suffering, the other part about this, I think that there is a mood where it's like, oh, you can't afford your bill. The government's going to help you pay for that. So now we create another layer of government dependence.
I was going to say real quick, let me bust in. What's your guys' payment? What has it been over these last few months?
I do not pay my power bill. My husband pays all of our bills. I should probably ask.
Yeah. You know what's funny, Mandy? We're like the same. Because I don't even look at the bills.
Yeah.
My wife, the only reason I'm not broke is because of my wife. She runs the finances. I go to her and I say, do I have enough money to buy this gun? And she goes, yes, but you can't afford the ammo.
Fair point. Yeah, fair point.
Leland and Andy.
Yes.
Love you both. I do the bills in my household.
How much? Come with it. Come
on. October. I was at $195.
Okay.
Okay.
In November, $395.
Holy shit.
That is insane. Now I have to ask Chuck. I'm going to have to ask him.
Hold on. In December, what I just got, and I just spent 6 hours on the phone with Excel, basically telling them that I will screw the crap out of them here. $525.
Yep, I believe it. Mine was $450.
Nuts. That's just not sustainable.
No, right.
I mean
that's
beyond what a reasonable, you know, family is going to be able to pay.
Wow.
And I don't see anyone really working at the highest levels to fix it. Do you?
Yeah. No. And that's the thing. I think about the single moms and single fathers. I think about the college kids trying to get their leg up in life. And I mean, it's just in just middle class families that $200 is, you know, it's what they had to put back for their kids' college education this month. And it's gone when you combine that with the price of eggs and everything else. So,
And by the way, I have solar.
Oh, do you?
Well, in winter, solar's not that efficient.
So in October, Excel apparently went and put all of the solar. You know, the reason, like they put different panels on so that they can rely off of what you're getting from solar versus what you're getting off Excel.
Right.
Bunch of BS.
Wild.
Bunch of BS.
Yeah, for real. All right, Mandy, we got to get you back on Twisted View. It was a blast having you on.
That was so fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Let's get you back on as soon as we can. Love it. Love you, mean
Thanks
it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Thanks. All right. Bye, Leland.
Mandy Connell, every day, noon to 3 on KOA. And check out her blog, because every day she's got a ton of stuff. And she's got more information and links on this story as well. When we continue the Bad News Mad Lib, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. Always enjoy having Mandy on. She is a blast. We will definitely get her back in on Twisted View as soon as we can. All right, I got a couple texts here I want to get to before we do our Bad News Mad Lib. Let's see. Leland Cappy says, XL increases due to U.S. restrictions on production, yet international natural gas demands and U.S. supplying to Europe after Nord Stream pipeline destruction. Let's see. On the plastic, wait a minute, what are these? Everyone leaving all the lights on like they're used to has to be punished by high rates to get people to stop. Soon they will meter hot showers. Yes. That's actually... That's the thing that concerns me about smart meters. I've always been concerned about that. Yeah. So, and then somebody said, thanks for having Mandy on. And then we have some comments about Dick Morris taking another call during the middle of our interview. All right. Here we go. Our Bad News Mad Lib. You guys ready for this?
It's time for the Bad News Mad News Lib.
Want to hear a good one?
On 630 KHOW.
All right, here we go. Here's the headline, Kel-Kel and B-Large. Kel-Kel and B-Large. Here's the headline. Man accused of biting off woman's pet python's head. Man accused of biting off woman's pet python's head. Who wants to go first? Who wants to tackle this one? This has got to be wild. There's got to be a detail behind here. This has to be like some kind of Tiger King type story. I don't know. What's going on?
What, I'll go you guys first step because okay, Kel, I Kel, used to have a 14-foot snake. That was my pet.
What?
Yeah. And
14 feet.
14 feet. And
how big round was it?
Columbian red tail boa constrictor.
I used to have a 6-foot bong. On with the story, Kelly.
Used to have a 6-foot bong. Okay. Okay, Kel-Kel, finish the story. Finish the story.
Okay. So, obviously, they didn't know how to handle snakes.
Okay.
And in
I feel like
his...
there's two stories in one here. Anyway,
it could be. But I feel like the guy had good intentions. I'm going to give guys a good rap today. I'm going to say, like, he was trying to save her.
Okay. Okay.
And he bit the head off because he, but that's like the worst part of the snake that you want to approach if you know snake management.
Kind of what I was thinking.
You want to press them up against something that they can't escape from.
Okay. Okay, Kel-Kel gives us how to escape a python's grasp. I get that.
No,
I
didn't have a python. I had a boa. There's a huge difference between a python and a boa.
Hit me with the headline again real quick.
All right, here you go. A man accused of biting off woman's pet python's head.
All right, so the python was getting ready to eat his little Pomeranian named Skittles. And he ran over right away and just didn't have anything in his hands, couldn't do anything, just gripped it and everything, wasn't doing anything. So finally he just, you know, took
just
things into his
off.
Own hands, bit his head off. The rest of the body at the lady was like, I'm out.
All right. Here's my stake on it.
Florida.
The guy is a member of, was it Ozzy Osbourne's band that bit the bat head off?
There you go. Ozzy did it.
Yeah. So a guy was a member of the Ozzy Osbourne's band from the 1970s trying to relive the show and bit the head off of it, and now he's in trouble. Here's the real story. WFLA, Florida man arrested after allegedly biting off the head of a woman's pet python during a domestic dispute. In Florida, according to a report, officers responded to a domestic disturbance at an apartment complex. Just kicked the door in, she yelled. There he was, biting off her python's head. Wow. He was arrested.
Did it say how big the python was?
And
like
it doesn't
his head?
Explain anything.
Did not, no. That,
and these people have no clue how to deal with
snakes. 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.